better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice. He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor.
What did you say?
Woman's a woman's woman, to a woman's her choice.
That's what I thought you said.
We're supposed to start using terms like birthing person.
You know, we're living in a society. We're supposed to act in a civilized way.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
My daughter married a Jewish young man. You know, dream of every Catholic father that she married a Jewish doctor.
That sounded creepy. I don't mean like, I got one.
My mind's going blank now. What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair?
Oh, wonderful. I want to be hoisted up on the chair and see what it feels like to be top Jew.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, the last hour of the program before Labor Day weekend. 844-500-4242. Howie's off for the rest of the evening. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie's executive producer. And we're going to be talking about Labor Day. I want to, do kind of a fun last hour with some other stories sprinkled in. I thought that we'd go over jobs that you've quit and why, if there's any funny stories that are attached to that. I haven't quit too many jobs in my life because I do require money to maintain a certain lifestyle. It's not a very extravagant lifestyle, but it's a lifestyle nevertheless. And one of my first jobs, I used to work at Honeydew Donuts. I still have a great affection for Honeydew Donuts. But I was a very basic person, still am. I don't do anything fancy. The way I take my coffee, I used to drink it just black because that was simple. You can't screw up black, right? Turns out you can. But if you've got any modicum of a brain in your head, you cannot screw up black coffee. I have, in the past couple of years, gone to just one cream. That's it. Kind of brings out the flavor in the coffee a little bit more. But working at Honeydew Donuts at the age of 15, 16, somewhere around there, I did not do fancy orders. I couldn't remember them. I couldn't bear fulfilling them because it took too much time. It backed up the drive-thru. It was just a mess. I remember they had this fancy latte you had to make where you had to swirl the caramel and drizzle the chocolate and then put in the latte, then put the whipped cream on top and drill and, swizzle that. And then you can hand it them. They've got this fancy schmancy drink that took me 2.5 minutes to make. Meanwhile, I've got a drive-through line that's backing up. So one day, I just about had enough, curmudgeonly 16-year-old that I was. Somebody, hi, can I have a half-calf soy, swirl chocolate latte frap? And I just said, wouldn't you just want a regular coffee? Wouldn't that be good enough? Somebody, wouldn't you know, complained to the manager, and they said to me, we're just not going to be putting you on the schedule for a little while. I never got called back. As far as I know, I'm still employed at Honeydew Donuts 14 years later. So that's good news. I'm holding down a second job that I don't have to report to. But I want to hear your stories. When you finally had enough, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? And I would hope that it worked out the best for you. And if it happened in a funny fashion, that'd be great as well. 844-500-4242, quitting stories on Labor Day weekend. One of the great moments of Seinfeld was when George Costanza quit his job. I forget what company he was working for, but I think it was in the first season. He quit his job, and then he said, what am I going to do? I've got no money. I need money. And Kramer told him, well, why don't you just go back in and pretend it never happened? And that's what he did. I think he was ultimately brought back on. But that story was actually based on, I mean, the character George Costanza was based on Larry David. And it's a pretty famous story now. But Larry David worked on Saturday Night Live for one season, and none of his sketches, I think one of the dozens and dozens of sketches that he wrote, only made it to air. Only one made it to the air. And another one of his was going to air that night, but they had to cut it for time. And so he quit. And then he went back home, and he spoke to his real-life neighbor, whose name was Kramer. Kramer told him, why don't you just go back in on Monday, pretend nothing happened? And that's what he did. And he kept his job at SNL. He was able to convince them that he didn't quit. He was just kidding.
That's it. This is it. I'm done. Through. It's over. I'm gone. Finished. Over. I will never work for you again. Look at you. You think you're an important man? Is that what you think? You are a laughing stock. You are a joke. These people are laughing at you. You're nothing. You have no brains, no ability, nothing. I quit.
Yeah, and later on he goes, what am I going to do? I don't have a job. I need to work. I need to work. 844-500-4242. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Taylor. When I was 15, I'm 67 now. When I was 15, I washed dishes at a Holiday Inn in the kitchen after school. And one night I had a banquet, and my father came to get me at 2:30 in the morning because it was a school night. And I had all these pots and pans stacked up in the sink. I got most of the dishes done, but I didn't get all the pots and pans done. So the next day after school, I went to work and saw all those pots and pans still there that the day guy didn't wash. So I just turned around and walked away.
Oh, it's 2:30. You got to go to school. That's understandable, Jim. Thanks very much for the call. Another Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. You got a quitting story for us, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you a little story about experience I had back in the early 80s over in Littleton at a chicken farm, which no longer exists, thank God. But it was a chicken farm that raised hens for egg laying, and they specialized in that, and they had multiple three-story chicken houses. And one weekend, the fans didn't turn on, and it was extremely hot, and all the chickens died. It was probably, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 chickens died when we came in Monday because of the ammonia from the chicken excrement and so forth.
Okay.
It was horrible. Oh, my God. So as we were reporting for work, we saw guys coming out in literal hazmat suits, head-to-toe white suits with face masks on and so forth, and they wanted... I was one of the crew, I guess. We just started there, and they wanted us to go pick up the chickens with our bare hands. They wouldn't give us any gloves.
Ooh.
And they were throwing... Oh, it was horrible. It was just... They were throwing them out of hatch into a dump truck and bringing them over to a dog food place in Lowell.
Oh, how nice.
They had sat for 3 days, and the skin was coming up.
Oh, yeah, it's the dinner hour. We don't need to go any further than that. Thanks very much for the call, Jim.
Neil. Poor dog died. Oh, died. The dog died.
Yeah, I can imagine the recall on that one, what they would have said. Neil, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, I'm actually being let go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Let me guess. Vaccine?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so sorry.
Well, you know what? I don't care. I'm 10 years away from retirement, and I'm willing to bet that the wrongful termination lawsuit will give me a nice little nest egg.
When are those coming, though, Neil? I mean, I'm waiting for those myself. Not that I'm in jeopardy here at the Howie Carr Radio Network, but, you know, there are people in my family that don't want to get vaccinated that are being forced to get vaccinated against their will. But I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for these class action lawsuits and wrongful termination suits to start popping up so we can sign on, but they're not coming.
It's going to be years before those are settled. But you know what? it'll happen. And in today's job market, I can be picky.
You can be picky. And you know what? You can probably get a pretty decent starting wage, too. And when you go in, make sure you demand more than $30 an hour, because Joe Biden says that's not any kind of wage to live on. Thanks very much for the call, Neil. 844-500-4240. Got a few other stories here for you, but we want to hear your quitting stories from days of yore. Any funny quitting stories that you had as a nod to Labor Day this week? And I shared mine with you. That's the only time I think I've ever quit a job. Any other job, if I've left, I've given my 2 weeks notice. I've always been fair. I've even asked places if they want me to give more than that, just so they can get somebody in there to cover and learn the job before I leave. So I've been fairly generous with my time, I think. Peter, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Peter.
Taylor, good afternoon, and everyone. Thank you for taking the phone call. I have a good quitting job story. It was a long time ago in the Northeast. We worked for a regional sandwich company, and we were upset with our wages. We thought we deserved raises. We were told we were going to get raises and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Never was given to us. So, you know, comes to a hilt. There's a line out the door for breakfast, and we're hemming and hawing about we have horrible wages. And the customers, who were our friends and very friendly to us at the time, were in support of us. And all of a sudden, the floor supervisor comes out and he says, "Well, hey, when I look at my paycheck every week, I am happy. I don't know why you guys are so upset."
And
he said that was it. We walked out with the line out the door.
Yeah, that's you have to do that, right? Thanks very much for the call, Peter. A good story. Oh, when they just rub it in your faces like that, that's no good. I'm happy for you, and I'm sure you found a good job after that. Thanks very much for the call. 844-500-4242. We'll take some more after the break. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarrShow.com.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Howie Carr Show.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. Taking your calls on quitting stories for Labor Day. But first, we've got to read the poll question. When the world gets too loud, create your own soundtrack with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, start at half the price of other premium audio brands, and come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. I use them every weekend when I'm mowing the lawn, doing chores around the house. Makes everything so much more pleasant. You're in your own little world, listening to what you want to. It's really great.
Use them when I mow the lawn now.
Oh, yeah. First of all, it takes out the noise of the engine completely. I don't even hear myself mowing the lawn. They're noise-canceling a little bit, and they're just great. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie, buyraycon.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you think a booster shot is necessary?
The answer for me is no. No.
83% of the audience believes no, they are not.
Yeah, the CDC doesn't think they're necessary either. Health officials advise White House to scale back booster plan for now, and I just came across a headline that Pfizer is the only booster shot that's going to be available for the next month or so. Let's get back to your calls, 844-500-4242. Ernie, what's your quitting story, Ernie? Ernie, go ahead.
Hello?
Howie? Yes. Hi, no, Taylor, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, Taylor.
It's all right.
Taylor. So thank you for taking my call. But, just to make a quick one, I think it was like 16 years old maybe at the time, and my friend and I both needed a job for gas money and, you know, what 16-year-olds do. So we took a job working for a farmer, and the farmer paid like $3.50 an hour. You know, not a lot, but puts a little gas in your tank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was then, so we didn't exactly know what we were doing. When we get there, he said, "Well, you're going to be picking squash." And it was a muddy field.
Ooh.
Back breaking, bent over all day long. And I was like, you know what? We made it to break time, and we got in the car and left. Never even went back for our pay.
Oh, well, I mean, at least you did him that. You didn't demand your pay for the half day's work. Boy, yeah, I see people in the fields, you know, picking stuff like root vegetables and strawberries and things of that nature. I couldn't do that. That's an awful lot of backbreaking work. You're bent over all day. It's rough. Thanks very much for the call, Ernie. Robert, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Robert, what's your quitting story?
Hey, Taylor, when I was a kid back in the 80s, I was washing dishes, and I was about 17 years old.
A lot of dishwashers and, today.
Yeah. And the cook was, you know, one of these screamers, you know. You wouldn't ask for something. You'd just scream at everybody, and he was just really, really a mean guy. And one of the waitresses got so upset, she started crying. And I thought, what a jerk. This girl's got to go out there and serve this food, and she got her mascara running down her face. And he screams at me, he says, more dishes! I says, all right, I'll give you more dishes. And I grabbed a stack of dishes, I walked up, I dropped them on the floor.
Oh,
they must have heard that in the parking lot, let alone the dining room. Threw down my apron, said, see you later.
And wow.
I was thinking during the week, I says, boy, man, I wish I was a fly on the wall to see what happened. Well, I had guts, I didn't care, I went back to get my check.
Wow.
And the waitress was,
good for you.
The waitress was there who was crying.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, when I quit, and she gave me a hug, she goes, that was epic.
Yeah, but she was still trapped there, huh? That's too bad.
Oh, she was still trapped there, but they loved it. He had to clean the dishes and clean the floor and do the cooking.
Wow. That's quitting in spectacular fashion. Thanks very much for the call, Robert. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, 1973, I worked at McDonald's, and
Turn your radio down.
Yeah, I shut the radio off, yeah. Right. So, it's St. Patty's Day, and they do Shamrock Shakes, so I was on fries and shake, which is possibly the worst thing you could do at McDonald's.
What year was this?
So, I inadvertently, for some reason, the Shamrock Shake was green and vanilla. Anyway, I kind of mixed it. Maybe I didn't clean it. And the girl came over to me and said, you know, you got the green Shamrock Shake and the vanilla shake. And the boss came over and fired me. And I said, you're not firing me. I quit. So I had a 65 Bulls 442 convertible in the driveway.
Oh, wow.
Red, white top. I put down the top and I burnt rubber right out of it. Oh, it was the best feeling in the world. It was great.
I didn't know the Shamrock. Did you say this was the 70s?
1974.
I didn't know the Shamrock Shake was that old.
It was introduced in 1970.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. I had no idea.
I worked there in 73. I was still in high school. Yeah, 73, 74. Yeah, yeah. Shamrock Shake.
Wow. Thanks. So you learn something new every day. Thank you so much. 207 says, I cooked for a once popular seafood restaurant up here in Maine. One of the waitresses was having relations with every cook in the kitchen. When she came to me, I told her, no, I'm married. She filed harassment on me the next day. Wow. All right, we'll take some more of your calls and hear some more great quitting stories on the other side of the break here. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. I'm Taylor Cormier, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
How may I help you, sir?
Yes, I think I'd be liking something cool as a green glade. Refreshing as a spring breeze.
Then you'd like McDonald's Green Shamrock Shake, sir.
A green shake? Why, it's the grandest thing I've tasted since visiting the old country.
Can I get me the MCAD here? Can I file a complaint? I can't. I'm not Irish, but you can't do stereotyping commercials like that anymore, can you?
That was back in the grand 70s.
Now, I think, I'm not sure, but I think the Lucky Charms guy, is his name Lucky?
His name is Lucky, yes.
Does he have an Irish accent anymore? I haven't really taken notice.
I haven't seen any commercials lately.
I'll have to, next time I see a Lucky Charms commercial watching Saturday morning cartoons, I'll have to take a listen. A couple of quick headlines here before we go back to the calls. on quitting stories. 844-500-4242. Students push back after Amherst College requires them to double mask or wear KN95 masks indoors. Amherst College, Howie mentioned this story yesterday a little bit. The school had mandated either a KN95 mask or doubled mask, double disposable pleated filter face masks. Those are the elite masks. That's the good stuff there. Must be worn at all times in classrooms and other academic spaces that are operating at 100% capacity. Additionally, the school had mandated students to undergo coronavirus testing twice a week, in addition to their finals, and restrict their travel, barring visits to off-campus restaurant establishments and other crowded public spaces during business hours. After business hours, it would have been okay, I guess, you know, when they're closed. But the students, over 400 students, sent a letter to the school's administration protesting the policies, saying the guidelines are significantly more restricted than our peer institutions. They asked for an explanation. Williams, for example, vaccinated students are exempt from testing unless symptomatic for COVID-19 and do not need to wear masks outdoors or in their residence halls. Masks are only required for unvaccinated individuals or indoors during class and other academic activities. Additionally, Amherst policies were out of line with guidances for CDC. Most recent COVID-19 guidelines on the CDC website states that current data suggests the risk of transmission of SARS-CoV-2 in outdoor settings is minimal. In general, fully vaccinated people do not need to wear a mask outdoors. Fully vaccinated people might choose to wear a mask in crowded outdoor settings if they or someone in their household is immunocompromised. That's the power of what happens when people come together and take a stand on something, although I think that the school was just trying to get away with a fast one, and the students now feel like they've accomplished something. Oh, we did it, when really they didn't change anything. They're back at square one with everybody else having to wear masks, even if you are vaccinated. Out of Maryland, one of the school counties, school boards has updated their quarantine guidelines, according to Caitlin Peets. She's a local school reporter there. If a student exhibits a COVID symptom or symptoms, close contacts will need to quarantine until the student returns a negative test. In other words, if you've got the common cold and the teacher thinks it's COVID, the kid is immediately sent home. Anybody that's in the classroom that has had a contact with them is immediately sent home and quarantined, and everybody has to take a COVID test and submit a negative test result to the school in order for them to return.
So essentially it's accusing people of being a witch is what's going on here.
Kind of. How are we supposed to get back to school, have kids in school and in school learning when they have stupid policies like this? Because lots of folks are asking, Caitlin Peets says, I do not have a specific number of students currently in quarantine across the district, but was told it's at least a couple hundred students are in quarantine. My tracker has at least 25 positive cases reported in people who have been on school campuses since Monday. Awful, awful, awful. 844-500-4242. Charlene, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Have you got a quitting story for us, Charlene?
Hi, Taylor.
Hi.
Talk to you guys. Do such an awesome job.
Oh, thank you.
Love listening to you guys. Yes, I was working in Norwood for a medical software company,
mm-hmm.
and my immediate supervisor treated me like a two-year-old. And this was in the early 90s, so I was still young. I was in my early 20s, and treated me like a two-year-old. This woman occupied so much space in my head. Couldn't sleep. I would drive to work thinking, oh, my Lord, what kind of mood is she going to be in today? How am I going to respond? What am I going to do? This woman was so psycho. Just a quick example. It was a small group. There was probably about 15, 16 of us. And when it came to a Christmas party, the owner would just take us out for dinner. You know, so it was a small setting. It was intimate.
Right.
And what everybody knew is this boss headed out, or the supervisor headed out for the boss. She wanted to clamp on to him, and she was much older. She was in her 60s. She went to the bathroom during our dinner, took off her bra, came back, and handed it to the boss.
Oh, my God.
And she's laughing. Everybody was
giggity, 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 giggity. Ugh.
I love it. So I knew within the 2 years that I had worked there and all of that bad treatment that I got from her, I knew if I left a 2 week notice, which I always do, mm-hmm. I have a great work ethic, I knew that I would suffer 10,000 times that if I left a notice. So she would also shield me from the boss. She wouldn't let me to go on doctor's appointments, things like that.
Wait, this woman kept her job after that incident?
Oh, it changed shortly thereafter.
Okay.
But I decided I cannot leave a notice. I had marched in to the owner's office, which that in of itself, she knew something was going down.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in there, blew past her, and I spoke to the owner, and I said, look, I said, I am quitting, effective immediately. Oh, no, no, you just don't do that. And I said, you know that you are a part of this. You are, and I said to him, I said, you are part to blame for this. You knew what was going on,
mm-hmm.
and you allowed it to happen. Oh, you just don't do this. Well, he knew the ramifications
right,
he was
right.
going to get from her, because he enabled her, you know. And so I got to tell you, the positive side of that is that entire day that I knew I was going to leave my notice, I was so panicked. I was so anxious. And I finally, with my inner dialogue, saying, this is a really good thing. Your life is going to change once you do it. And I was so proud of myself that I stood up at the young age, you know, and I learned, you know, a lot early on. But, I just turned on my heels and I walked out. She happened to be sitting at her desk when I left and just said, you know, do everybody a favor and, you know, bleed yourself. So I did. And I turned on my heels and I walked and I stayed in touch with my coworkers. And after that, she completely kept getting demoted.
Wow.
You know, karma. It's pretty interesting.
Wow.
But,
that's awesome, Charlene. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. We've got to move on. Kevin, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Taylor. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, listen, I was a waiter at the Hearth and Kettle years ago down the Cape.
Sure.
And not a very good waiter. And I was behind in my orders and giving the wrong food, and people were just upset. And why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And you know, we had these buses come in of senior citizens, and we were just overwhelmed. And my manager had already been looking at me like, he's not going to make it, because I was filling it. But anyways...
Yeah,
I walked by a table. I gave somebody chicken when they ordered fish and vice versa. Finally, one lady picked up. She goes, sir, this potato is bad. And I picked up her plate and I started pointing at the potato and yelling at it, going, bad, 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 bad. And I put it back down on the table. I goes, yeah, he should be okay now. And the manager looked at me and he goes, turn in your apron.
Was he at least laughing?
He was. He goes, you're done, Kev. Thank you, though. He goes, that's it.
That's great. Thanks so much for the call. That's a really good one. Another Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. What's your quitting story?
Well, I worked for a company more than 13 years, but in 13 years, I got fired or quit 12 times.
Oh, my God.
Same company.
How did you get...
Same
company. How did you keep going in? Would you wear a mustache one day and...
No. He couldn't hire anyone else. He was too difficult to work for.
Okay.
And I was too temperamental to work anywhere else. So it was a match almost made in heaven.
Wow. So you're done there now?
Yeah, I retired about 2 years ago.
All right. Good for you. Thanks very much for the call, Kevin. Doug, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I was working in this fast food joint, and they were a real stickler for details, and my trainer was always asking me, so, you know, what's the procedure for making a cheeseburger? And I'd be like, well, you toast the bun, you put on some ketchup, you put on some mustard, and you're like, no, you do what? I said, oh, you take a caramelized bun, and you put on ketchup and mustard, and he's like, what? Oh, Lord, okay, you put on mustard and ketchup, and it's just little things like that.
Yeah.
Well, there was this one girl that was working out at the front, and she was the sweetest girl you could ask for. She never said boo to anyone. And she was out front all by herself one morning. And a guy comes in and places order. And then a manager walks out into the front. And the girl turns to the manager and says, "This gentleman would like a blueberry muffin and a small coffee, and I quit." And she hung up her apron and walked out.
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Huh." I said, "You know what? I think I quit, too." And I followed her out. And I regret to this day that I didn't come up with something clever like that. That was the most clever line I had ever heard.
I don't think it beats the bad, bad, bad potato line. But thanks very much for the call, Doug. Appreciate it. Good story. Eric, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. What's your quitting story, Eric?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So basically, I used to work for Rainbow Rentals, a rental company that Rent-A-Center purchased. So it was one of those companies like that.
Yes.
I was an account manager, and basically account manager is a repo man. So, you know, it's kind of hard work, whatever the case is. So anyway, I'm going on vacation, and my boss went on vacation the week prior to me. So when I go in on Friday to pick up my vacation check, my check's gone. So I'm like, okay. So then I called the district and said, "Hey, you know, my check's missing." They said, "Oh, it was sent to the bank and it was cashed at the bank." And I'm like, "It was cashed at the bank? I never even got it. So how would it be cashed?" Call the district manager. Long story short, my boss gets back from vacation, and the district manager and I were on his porch when he gets off the vacation. And basically the boss tells me
he needed a little spending check. Money in Vegas, right?
Exactly. So he goes on a cruise with my check, and he gets home and he doesn't have my money, whatever the situation is. District manager forces him to go to the ATM, take out my money, give me the cash. So while I'm on his porch at his house, I said, "I quit." And the district manager turns around and says, "Well, he quit and you're fired." So I figure I'd give you a 2-for-1 today.
Wow, not bad. Thanks so much, Eric. I appreciate the call. Yeah, I would have seen if I could have gotten his job, first of all, before quitting. But hey, if you weren't happy in the work, that's fine, too. Stealing somebody's check, what kind of person do you have to be to steal somebody's food off their table? Paul, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi, Dale. Yeah, quick thing. I was 15 years old working in a kitchen. It was July 4th weekend.
Yep.
It was a Friday night, and I met a girl who came down the Cape, and I was determined to meet this girl and get to know her a little better. And I called the boss. I said I couldn't make it in for family reasons. And he said, "You know, if you don't come in tonight, you don't have a job tomorrow." And I said, "You know, it's really, I can't do it. And I appreciate the job and stuff. And I had fun working there, and I'd come in tomorrow." And he goes, "You know my position." And short story, I went to the Shot Club dance, met the girl. 2 years later, she ended up being my prom date.
Well, good for you. But I can understand the boss's position in that one. If you're working a busy restaurant and it's a July 4th weekend and you're reliant on help and it's all hands on deck kind of weekend and somebody tries to... I've had that happen, especially working in the fast food industry. People just, you know, if it's a nice day, all of a sudden a lot of people get sick on nice days and they don't show up. And guess what? They get canned too. Thanks very much for the call, Paul. We'll be back in just a bit. I'm Taylor Cormier filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this. He's been called the Nostradamus of our time.
You know something? If you liberals go on getting your way, we're all going to hear one big loud flush. That's the sound of the USA going down the toilet.
He's Howie Carr.
And look, this is about good-paying jobs for ordinary people, blue-collar workers, jobs at prevailing wage, not $15 an hour or $20 or $30.
$30 an hour isn't a prevailing wage. I was, before I started working here, I don't think I was making $30 an hour in my adulthood. I wasn't working a blue collar job. I wouldn't consider it white collar, but it was, I wore a collar and I talked on the radio, but I wasn't paid $30 an hour. Boy, That would have been a reason to party. You get $30 an hour for a raise. I don't know what world Joe's living in. Kurt, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, hello. I worked as a veterinary assistant. I was 14 years old.
I'm sure you've got a lot of good stories.
Yeah. This is back in 1966, so it's before any licensing or anything. And Saturdays we did surgery, and one of the vets that came in, it was a group veterinary clinic, and one of the vets that came in, we'd had to wash his Jaguar. And so we do that, and then we do surgery. And this one time, I was doing surgery, and he told me to get this one cat, and I got the cat. And he did. He neutered a male cat.
Okay.
And blame me.
Oh, you weren't supposed to neuter the male cat.
Right. Right. No. I mean, he was looking for ovaries.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. He spayed a male cat, is what you mean.
Spayed a male cat. Yep.
Oh, boy.
And he blamed me. And it was on the card. It was on everything. And he gave me a dressing down. And I'm 14, and so I went in the back. I had to get the next victim cat.
Well, we're out of time there, Kurt, but thanks. I see where the story's going. And I think the real loser in that was the cat.
Happy Labor Day!
Yeah. And on that note, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. I don't know. Enjoy not making $30 an hour. Joe doesn't care. We'll be back on Monday. This is the Howie Carr Show.